A few years ago, we grew and sold a business that forever changed our lives. At first, we really struggled trying to figure out which tools to use to help run and organize our community. But that all changed once we discovered Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and more. The best part, Kajabi doesn't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you, so you keep 100% of what you earn. And with Kajabi, you also get robust analytics, easy payment options, email marketing tools, and customizable website templates all built in. You don't need a huge audience to make sustainable income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/MU. That's kajabi.com/MU. Go to kajabi.com/MU and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
No one wants number one ranking. No one wants traffic. They want the results from the ranking and the traffic that they produce. So if you get the ranking without the benefit of the number one ranking, you're wasting your time. And so understanding what it is you actually want to get from the number one ranking and work backwards from there.
Hey, hey, welcome back to class. It's Eric Fisher. I have got a great conversation for you all about SEO, search engine optimization, and why it's vital for your online presence and your business. In this conversation, we are chatting with Bear Newman of Bear Fox Marketing with some game-changing advice. Like, for instance, SEO is not dead. Keyword stuffing is not going to help you. Optimizing your content, creating the right content in the first place. And did you know that Google isn't just a search engine? It's a stamp of legitimacy. Anyway, get ready to take notes, focus in, and give it up for Bear Newman. Hey, Bear. Welcome to Millionaire University. Love having you here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I'm excited to be here. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, at one, I know your first name is Bear, so obviously some of the naming came from there. But what's the origin story of Bear Fox Marketing real quick?
I was doing all the internal marketing for a publishing company and decided I'd gotten enough inquiries into how to do SEO and how to do it effectively that I decided to start my own agency. Been doing it for a couple of years. And really through just a family get together, stumbled upon my business partner, who's now the co-founder of Bear Fox Marketing, Glenn Moore. And he'd been doing a lot of the marketing for a fairly large company. They're doing about $250 million in revenue at the time. And they were frustrated with their results, that they weren't getting very good results, more than about 10% increase in SEO traffic. And he asked what I did, told him, he said, you know, I'm a little frustrated. I've been working with these big agencies out of California, and I'm not getting very good results from what I think I should be getting. And so I told him, you know what, just give me half the brands, same budget. Let me show you what I can do. He said, you're on, let's see it. And managed to take him from about 6,000 visitors per month to about 28,000 in 6 months. And he said, you know, can you do that with anything? I was like, well, not necessarily, but the principles are all the same, but I do this all the time. And he said, you know what, why don't we go into business together? And I said, hey, let's go. And so that rest is history. That was 8 years ago. And he actually came up with the name Bear Fox Marketing. The idea was to play on my name, but it was also powerful for bear and then smart for fox. So the idea was powerful, smart marketing.
Love it. That's a great name. I love the meaning behind it and the fact that he's calling you out and saying, hey, Bear, you're strong. I don't think he's not calling you smart, but he obviously acknowledges that as well. So, well, you mentioned SEO. You mentioned that's how you kind of got into all of this. SEO is it's an acronym. I was going to say it's a big word, but it's not. It's an acronym. Mm-hmm. Stands for Search Engine Optimization. We all kind of know that. Beyond that, I think a lot of people just think of it as another one of those marketing terms like algorithm, which does play into this. What is your definition of SEO and search engine optimization? When people ask you, what do you tell them?
Essentially tell them I make a website trustworthy to Google. If you look at it from Google's perspective, they are a search engine just like Bing. And really what they're trying to do is they're trying to combat bad websites. They're trying to combat spammers And so the core of what I'm trying to do is show the site is fast, it's friendly, it's valuable to people. Google's product at the end of the day is that page that when you type in a keyword, that page comes up, the map section, the ad section, that is their product. And so if they put a website on there that makes them look bad, people are going to stop using them. So that is everything to them. And making sure you offer a good value to your visitors, Google will in turn reciprocate that and rank you higher. So making sure that you can be trusted by Google, that they can actually read your site, know what they should rank you for, and then trust you for those terms is at the core what I do.
Some people, though, they've heard that term SEO like years ago. In fact, more than a decade, probably 20 years ago now, right? I think from my personal experience, I've heard the term SEO since 2005, 2006, 2007, maybe somewhere in there. It may be even earlier than that. A lot of people have said, well, Google has changed so much and social media has entered into the factor as well. Is SEO dead? Well, obviously it's not. I can already predict your answer. It's not because you literally are doing it and making it work for people. But what do you say to people when they ask, well, wait, I thought SEO was dead?
Really, the first thing I ask is, do you still use Google to look up things? Their answer is yes. Then I'm assuming off of that, it's not dead. You know, it's usually a marketing ploy to try and get you to click on their ads and, you know, create some kind of fear that you're wasting your money on SEO. And that's usually the play on it. But it's far from dead. Google has its struggles. Gemini just came out with the issues with their AI, but SEO is still the juggernaut that is going to generate the majority of your business. Exposure, trust factor with Google is much higher than any other platform. SEO is far from dead.
Now, a lot of people have said recently they are aware that different generations are using different engines. Like some will search on Facebook, some will search in TikTok of all places. Do you do anything with that? I mean, or are you primarily focused on Google until it looks like the signs are that you've got to do it any and everywhere?
Great question. Typically, if you optimize for Google, you'll optimize for the other platforms as well. Really, they're trying to mimic and copy Google in a lot of ways. Bing has been accused of actually trying to exactly copy Google's algorithm. So they're really just trying to mimic that. So if you can make your site friendly to Google, the others will follow. And when I talked about trust factor, a lot of times you'll see a Facebook ad. There's a problem with tracking. So if you Google a Facebook ad, you see a Facebook ad, a lot of people don't trust Facebook because of the issues they've had with getting the platform hacked, bad sites. They know their ads on there. Anyone could be there. It could be some scammer out of India, China, South America, whatever. And so they'll see it. And they will actually Google your company name instead of clicking on the ad to make sure you're legitimate. And if you don't show up in the Google rankings for your company name, you're pretty much dead.
I think what you described is actually what I end up doing. Sometimes I'll see these ads and I think, eh, it looks too good to be true. So I'll actually jump out of Facebook and go, you know, get out of that ecosystem that feels a little, you know, walled garden and go to Google because like, I can trust Google. You described it pretty accurately. I mean, I'm one of many people, but I think many people feel that way.
Yep. I mean, one example for myself, Kevin Hart has, I guess, an athletic clothing brand, and I got hit with some of their ads. They were really, really inexpensive shorts that they were advertising. And even the celebrity, I was wondering, okay, is this someone ripping off the celebrity name to try and use that to get sales to a fraudulent website? And then I Googled it and found, okay, it is legit. They're running a special. Okay, fine. But had he not come up for Google, I would completely dismiss the entire campaign as just completely fraudulent.
Now, do you think that that means we are putting too much trust in Google or relying too much on Google?
Yes.
but is that just the way it's got to be right now? And like you said earlier, if you're optimizing for Google, you're optimizing for everywhere.
Right now, Google, in search terms, Google is the 800-pound gorilla. That is just, they make up the rules. They do what they do. I love competition. I feel like when there's a lot of competition, the consumer wins. I would love nothing more than for Bing to get out there and just start hammering away at Google to make Google up their game and keep things honest. Anyone else, DuckDuckGo, you name it, I would love for them to get up there. But the fact, the reality is they're not. They're just not as good as Google. And Google is that just dominant factor you have to take into account.
Ultimately, it comes down to that trust factor, like you said. Well, if you had to guess, what would you say the breakdown is in terms of like Google's this percent and everybody else is what? Minuscule. right?
Top of my head, I'd say Google's 96%. Everyone else is combined and makes up the remaining 4%.
Wow. So it's still definitely all about Google for now. But again, like you said, yeah, it'd be great to have a more competitive market because competition breeds innovation. And for that matter, I think that's kind of why people sometimes are thinking, oh, is SEO dead? Because Google's been Google for however long and they've been dominant. So it's just like, okay, you know, do we really have to play that game anymore? So SEO is still worth the investment. Let's go back to the trust thing. A lot of people hear that and they think, do I just write words? Do I put good images? Like, what's the portfolio of things that incorporate into providing that trust for a website that then provides great SEO and great searchability and ranking and traffic and all that kind of good stuff?
Great question. So at its core, it's simple. The execution is where it gets a little bit more complicated in that you need to make sure your site is scannable and Google can read it. So if you code it in a way that Google's algorithm, the computer program they use to crawl your website, cannot understand what you should be ranked for. So you need to have a good structure around your navigation and the content you have in there. If you just basically throw up content and it's all kind of jumbled together, Google is not going to like that. They're not going to know what exactly it is you should be ranked for. So you want to make sure your site is structured in a way from your navigation down to your location pages that this is my number one term. So understanding what you want to have trust for primarily, you're not going to be able to cover everything. A lot of people want one website or one page, their homepage, to be dominant for everything. Bad idea. So you want to make sure your site is what we call siloed. So if you think of like a farm, they have these giant silos of grain and barley that they kind of do that with. You want to do that with your content. So make sure it can be scanned by Google and your visitors. So you're kind of catering to two, Google and your visitors, making sure Google can find it and your visitors can find it and they'll enjoy the content. So you want to write good content. That's kind of the principle. This is where it gets a little fuzzy in that the tactics change a little bit with how you execute it. So the principle is it's got to be good, valuable content to your readers. And then how you execute on that is going to be dependent upon, in part, who you're competing against. SEO at its core is competition based. There are only so many spots that can be in that top 10. And so looking at who you're competing against, what does their content look like? The number one, number two, how long is their content? Can I beat it? And really come in with a much more laser approach of, I was going to write 3,000 words of this content, but in this industry and what I want to rank for, everyone only has 500 or 600 words or maybe 1,000 words. And so you can kind of tailor that and say, well, you know what? I don't need 3,000. Maybe if I had 1,200 or 1,500 and had some really good images and some great content around that, that would be enough. And I can focus on other areas of my site. So coming in with an idea of who you're competing against and how you should tailor that content to make it favorable to Google and still valuable for your visitors is really kind of the first steps.
In my head, I'm seeing a Venn diagram of basically what I'll call the technical or usability of the site, that it functions well, that Google can read it. And then you've got the other side, which is the content side of things. And then there's the overlap to the middle where it's the sweet spot that both of those are working together for Google and for your intended visitors. And Google being one of those visitors, by the way, that when they visit, they discern what you've got and where it is, and it's easy to find so they can serve that up. You mentioned being in the first 10 on Google. So that's like the front page. That's the first page, aside from whoever's paid to be at the very top. Does it matter if we're not on page one? Because I know some people are like, we got to be page one.
If you want traffic, yes. So one of the strategies that you can use is if you have a lot of keywords you really want to rank for, and they're on, you've done a good setup, and you're on page 2 and 3, that's actually really good news because Google finds you authoritative and they find you relevant for those terms. You're just not quite authoritative enough. So then you can go through and you can laser focus your efforts and say, how do I get more authoritative from Google for this particular topic? Do I need to make the content better? Do I need to get more links, more social media posts about this content to link to it, to push it up? And all of a sudden, SEO can become very powerful in a matter of weeks, as opposed to a matter of months or years. So really having that understanding of a little bit more here, a little more focused effort can have a huge impact.
So it's a signal that you're on page 2 or 3, that you're doing something right enough, and it's good to then drill down in and laser focus and beef those up, in other words, so that they can move up to the front page.
Exactly. It's okay. Not a matter of adding more content. It's a matter of doing better with the content you have.
Optimizing it, in other words.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's stick with copy for a second here. We're talking about text-based content on your site. And I know some people have heard the words or the term keyword stuffing. And that's where people are just like, okay, here's all the keywords. Let's throw them in. Hey, let's throw them into ChatGPT. Let's tell them use all these words and then throw it out and give me a, like you said earlier, like maybe a 1200, 1500 word synopsis of what we do or, you know, this service or that. And we'll put it up on the page and it'll work. I think you'd probably advise against that. Why?
So Google is a little smarter and dumber than you might give it credit for. So interesting sweet spot to understand. Google can crawl the content and it has its own, it's called NLP that they use, the acronym they use to rate the content. So it will give it a score of 1 to 10 saying this is really good, well-written content. It's a 9. Or they'll see it is keyword stuffed, kind of sporadic, doesn't make for good reader experience, and they will rate it a 1. So you might hit the parameters of it needs to be 1200 words. It needs to have this number of images. You know, technically it might be a good page, but from a user standpoint, it isn't. And believe it or not, Google knows that and it will penalize your site. So using AI to cut corners is really the worst thing you can do. Google has gotten very aggressive in the past year and a half to specifically combat, well, less than a year and a half, ChatGPT specifically. Last year was probably the most aggressive update they've ever given in combating bad content and AI generated content. So they can figure that out. They do. And typically anytime you're trying to cut corners with Google, you are on limited time. They will eventually update their algorithm and you will lose your ranking. So beware that they're still progressing. They're evolving. They're getting better. They do updates every single year. Last year, I think they did 13. And they were big updates. So you think about that. If you were kind of cutting corners, you might have a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months before they find you and you get hit.
It's like more than one a month for the entire year. So yeah, it's a moving target, in other words. But what I've heard, and you can corroborate this, what you want to do is, yeah, do your research, figure it out what keywords you're wanting to use. Definitely make sure, and actually speak to this, definitely make sure that what you're calling something is what your customer is also calling it or searching for. What's something you've seen with a disconnect between a client and their customer base where they're calling it one thing and the clients are calling it something else?
So we worked with a manufacturer who specialized in freezing food before it would go bad. So for other companies, their production lines, and they had these very technical terms. And like, well, there's no one doing this. There's no one really ranking for this. We want to rank for that. And I had to say, they're not ranking for it because no one's searching for it. So that volume is important to understand. I realize this is the technical or maybe the proper term. No one cares. If you want to rank that, you can, but you'll have a number one ranking without any results associated with it. And this is where people get lost, is they associate the number one ranking with all this value. No one, including myself, wants number one ranking. No one wants traffic. They want the results from the ranking and the traffic that they produce. So if you get the ranking without the benefit of the number one ranking, you're wasting your time. And so understanding what it is you actually want to get from the number one ranking and work backwards from there.
That makes sense. Reverse engineer it. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MU, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MU to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com mu.
More and more entrepreneurs and investors are discovering the awesome franchise opportunities that exist across a variety of industries. Franchising can simply be the better path, and interest in franchising is at an all-time high. Lucky for you, John Austinson, founder of FranBridge Consulting and a past Millionaire University guest, is here to help you explore the premier franchise opportunities today. John and his FranBridge Consulting team are part of the largest franchise brokerage in the U.S. and have vetted the market thoroughly. FranBridge is hands down the premier source for the best opportunities in the franchise world, including both active and passive opportunities. From tiny homes to youth soccer to industrial hoses to pets, senior care to mental health, and more. John has served as an Inc. 500 franchisor and is a multi-brand franchisee himself. And he does more placements than anyone else in the country. Sign up for a free consultation call with John today or get a free copy of his book, Non-Food Franchising, at FranBridgeConsulting.com. That's FranBridgeConsulting.com. Available in the U.S. and Canada.
So somebody's coming to you and they're like, okay, well, we call it this and they call it this. I mean, do you basically just tell them, look, you've got to go through your whole site and you've got to change the where you're calling it this, you've got to change it. Or do you say, let's supplement here and there, let's add in natural language? Because that's the other thing I hear is that when it comes to SEO, Google over the last few years now has had this whole, hey, we're not looking at keywords. We're looking for, well, we are, but that they're looking at it more from a readability or that you're writing it well. Is that true?
Yeah, that's really where the reading score will come into play to make sure it's well written. However, the foundation of that is going to be keywords. So if you're still using terms that no one's searching for, you're still going to get a keyword ranking and maybe, you know, trust around that topic that still isn't going to generate any real eyeballs. So part of it is understanding, and this is where I really like to focus on at Bear Fox, is that we work with them to understand what are your goals. If you want to work in a technical term and without diluting everything, so if you try and get everything, you end up getting nothing. So we can have specific pages around the technical terms, and then we can have additional content around the terms people are searching for, and we have them linked together. So we can have a multi-pronged approach. What is it they want to have? What do you want to get from the traffic on these technical terms? Are these your ideal customers? Are these the ones you really want to work with? And these other terms that might have a much higher search volume, they're people who are tire kickers who don't really know what they're doing, who wouldn't actually be who is buying your product. And so really get into the mind of the business owner. They know their business better than I do, and really make sure that I understand what they want, what their success metric is from the content we're creating, to make sure we can reverse engineer it and put them on the right path. Most business owners are so accustomed to just taking whatever business comes their way that this is a unique opportunity to say, what business do you want? What are your favorite products to sell? What's your most profitable products to sell? Let's base it off of where you want to go as opposed to just anything you can take.
And also you can go like to your Google Analytics, I'm assuming, and see, all right, here's the top ranked pages that have been visited in these past few months. Here's where the traffic has come from, and kind of say, okay, well, wait, we're getting a lot of people searching for this and showing up on this page. What can we do about that? How can we cater to those tire kickers, as you said, but also how can we cater to those people who are doing the deep dive research and they're like, oh, they're close to a sale. We can tell because they jumped through this hoop and that hoop and landed on this page. So what would you suggest in terms of, well, I've already got something set up. How do you need to analyze where the leaks are and patch them?
Great question. This is one of my favorite parts. And this is really why I got into SEO. For me, SEO was very much even just digital marketing in general. It's like an online chess match. And a lot of times you can beat your competition. All the information you need to beat them is right there. And it just requires you to kind of, shall we say, slow down to look at the landscape and then put together a plan based on what you're currently seeing. And this is where a lot of people make that mistake. I would start in looking at where you're at. So right now, look at your Google Analytics. And if you have tracking in place is going to be absolutely critical. Look at the pages that convert. And when I say convert, that are your signs of actual sales and money. Where is your money coming in from? And I can't tell you the number of times I've seen everyone focuses on the quantity of the traffic and they forget traffic's a good piece, but you have to have the conversions. And you can go through, you can actually find out, well, I've done a check on this with a client. They had 42% of their traffic coming through six pages on their site. So they made up the lion's share of their traffic. However, they made up 0.5% of their actual sales over 90 days. Looking at it, they had 17 other pages that made up, I think, 10% of their total website traffic and accounted for 56% of their actual sales.
Wow.
And they had massive opportunity. They generated all of those sales with about three keywords, ranked 7 through 10, and the competition was very low. So it was, we need to focus on these terms on these pages. And all of a sudden they started making, within 45 days, they went from where they were to make an additional $1,000 per day with that particular strategy in the first 45 days.
Incredible. And the only way they knew to do that was by having somebody like you take a look and say, well, here's what's actually happening. And here it's again, it's not about the mass numbers of the traffic overall. It's about where that specific traffic is coming from, where it's going to, and especially the conversions, which I love that you're pointing that out. We've talked a lot about copy here. I know there's more to sites, especially when it comes to trust, than just copy. Obviously, there's different types of content like images and video and even audio. How do those play into SEO?
So very important. Images are going to be that much more of a critical piece to make sure your content is engaging. And Google does look at the bounce rate. So the time on your site, the time on the pages is also something they take into account. On some of the stats, you want to be careful. Google doesn't always do as they say. They claim they do not watch bounce rates. I've done my own research and I would say I find that questionable. So some of those metrics that you have access to, you're using Google Analytics. It's their software. And so to say Google might not be tapping into their own metrics on your site is a little questionable. They're going to try and make the best product they can. So understanding that you've got images are going to help with your time on site, your bounce rate, all those kinds of factors is going to be important. Video is going to be becoming more and more important. People forget sometimes what I've heard is Google owns YouTube. For me, Google owns YouTube. It's the second largest search engine in the world. It's Google again. So Google, and then there's YouTube, which is Google. A lot of people post all their videos on YouTube. Google can scan YouTube. There are captions on YouTube that Google can scan and see the content and it links back to your website. That web video is on your website. All of a sudden you have a link that's trusted from Google to your site with video content, making your content more engaging. So all of those come into play. And really, if you really want to start upping your game, do the written content. And then the next level is really start looking at video. It doesn't have to be super complicated. It doesn't have to be really polished. But you need to start adding these additional elements to make your website that much more attractive.
And I can see some people thinking, oh, well, I've already got some videos on my site where it's, and they're posted over on my YouTube channel. There's a series here where we walk you through steps, you know, 1 through 20 of a specific implementation of something. And it's right there in a playlist. And we've got that embedded on our site. Is that enough? Or I imagine that by doing some of the research we just talked about with Google Analytics, you can say, oh, you know what we need to do? Is we need to create some micro videos for some of these pages that are the highest converting pages, whether it's quick, super explainer type videos where it's like it's 30 seconds to a minute and it ups that time on site on that page specifically. I imagine there's a mix of all these things that I'm talking about here that you kind of prescribe.
Yes, definitely. The long form videos are great. Some short snippet videos are also really good. And we're talking about creating content for your visitors. One thing to understand is short, impactful, memorable are really good things to be looking at when creating content, especially video content. I believe a goldfish has a attention span of about 10 seconds. It's recently come out that the average human now in this day and age has the average attention span of about 8 seconds. So it's not less than a goldfish. So keeping that in mind, the content you're creating, it needs to be good, impactful, short and sweet. So you can have some micro videos on there to really get them engaged and excited about whatever is your offering value you have is going to be just that much more of a help to you. and getting the actual conversion and making your visitors excited about what you have to offer.
I imagine that you've got some people who are saying, well, I don't search in Google anymore. I search in YouTube. And I've heard this. I mean, I've heard people search in YouTube, but they don't realize they're still kind of searching in Google. So I think the key here is that that you need to be thinking, like you said earlier, if you're optimizing for Google, you're optimizing for everywhere. There's probably some specific stuff when it comes to Google, though, in terms of when you're uploading videos and you're wanting people to click links and come back to your site. Have you ever dealt with that in terms of YouTube SEO?
Yes, absolutely. There's certain things you want to do on your YouTube channel that will only help the links that you get back to your site. So making sure it's in the correct category. You have the right tags on there, so Google knows this is specifically related to whatever the topic is. So there's definitely some optimization you can do on your YouTube channel. It doesn't have to be really complicated, but make sure you're in the right category. I've seen customers who are, you know, roofers, and they're putting a mechanic category on a YouTube channel. Like, hey, we need to fix that. Just a few things like that. Again, a lot of times it's not overly complicated. It's just slowing down, looking at, okay, this is our channel. Do we have the right information for Google? And just taking that into account and saying, are we making this hard for Google to give us authority and send people our way and rank us? Or are we making it really easy for Google to understand who we are, what we're doing, and who we want them to send to us?
Now, speaking of people searching in YouTube, one of the other things that I've heard recently is, and I think, you know, you saying, what was it, 94, 96% of search traffic or searching is happening in Google and all the rest are lower key. AI coming into the mix, some people are saying, I don't know how much I trust or believe this. I wish I could go to Google and like say, okay, are these people lying? But some people have said they're using AI. They're using ChatGPT or other clients that are like that as search now. And I would say that's outdated information it's pulling from, unless you're literally sending it to specific pages. But two, that percentage is still very, very low. It's almost like dark web or lurkers at this point. We're nowhere near. I would guess more people are using Bing than are using AI, at least at the moment. What's your take on that?
I would agree. It is still, I mean, it's up and coming. But if you're worried about in the near foreseeable future, having traffic, having visitors, having customers to your site, stay focused on Google. That's where it's at. Google's made some major missteps recently with their Gemini algorithm and had to kind of shut it down recently to get it fixed. So there's some things there, but they'll get it fixed and get it going again. And the reality is the database that ChatGPT pulls is never going to be as recent the way it currently is set up. To get new content coming in, Google has trillions of URLs that it scans. And the reality is it's scanning them every couple of days, depending on how popular your website is. So it's constantly looking for updates to the content to keep those search engine results relevant and current for what is going on. So it's constantly scanning the web for more information to keep them updated.
So if I hear you right, I think I'm hearing you say that since Google's always updating, we should also be updating or at least monitoring and analyzing and updating as well.
Yes, constantly looking to add more value to update. A lot of people will say, well, the page is ranking really well. I don't want to mess it up. That's true. That's great. But Google also sees that you're updating the page and making it better. So if your goal is to make it better, as opposed to just maybe stuff in some more keywords, it should only maintain that position and make your site as a whole more relevant.
Gotcha. Now, we've talked a lot about Google specifically, some of the things you can do on your site. We've talked about YouTube. We've talked about AI a little bit. Are there any other digital marketing channels that can also generate high ROI for a business as it relates to SEO?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no question what TikTok has done and is able to do for brands. Facebook is very effective. Google Ads, we haven't talked about that, but that's also very effective to be able to dominate that page with your SEO ranking and to combine that with Google Ads. The one I would say sleeping giant that a lot of people overlook because it's been around for so long is email marketing. They've done studies that it's usually the highest ROI you can get. So you usually get about a 40-to-1 return on your email campaigns. If your revenue isn't about 40 to 50% coming from your email, you are missing the boat. You go through, set up your flows, have your drip campaigns, bring value again. So you capture the visitors once and then have a campaign set up around what they may have purchased, what they're interested in, and continue to add value to what they're interested in through your email. That is going to make a lion's share of your actual revenue. So making sure you're using all of them. A lot of people, the biggest mistake I typically see in online marketing is everyone is looking for that one magic bullet. And that's the biggest mistake. Alex Ramosi had a great analogy. He's like, there is no magic bullet. Think of them as, instead of a silver bullet, think of them as golden BBs. That every little BB shot you take is a step closer to really hitting your target and hitting it perfectly. And that's what you want to be shooting for. So SEO is one play. Email is another. Let's add later on with Facebook. And then understanding how they play together. Tracking is awesome. And that final conversion touch is very critical. But understanding how they play together, we talked about it a little bit earlier, in that Facebook has a low trust factor. Google has a high trust factor. And if you're doing a, let's say no one knows about your company, so you have a branding Facebook campaign. People see that, they're like, hey, that's cool, I'm interested. And then they will actually Google your name. If you show up there, they'll go through that way and they'll convert through Google. So your tracking is actually misleading in that you see your SEO is killing it. Your Facebook campaign is a total failure if you don't understand how they work together. So your step is, well, I don't want to waste money. Facebook isn't working. I'm going to cut it off. And the truth is that the traffic that Google was generating was 90% for your brand name. Well, how do they know to search your brand name? They search it off of your Facebook ad. So not understanding how the two play together, you're really cutting your legs off and now your sales dry up. And you're like, well, what happened? My SEO hasn't changed. I'm still dominant. I'm still number one because it was the Facebook that was driving the traffic to Google.
Now, how would somebody know that? I mean, for me, I often, when I'm in Facebook, will hit open in browser to take me to the page outside on the actual web on mobile or on desktop, but then I'm on their page already. I'm not searching for them in Google. How would someone know that their brand awareness campaign in Facebook is what's causing people to then go over to Google instead and search for them?
So there are some technical things you can do with UTM parameter tracking that you can actually associate with that. The easiest way is if your Facebook campaign is driving traffic to a specific page, and all of a sudden that page traffic skyrockets in your analytics and you don't have any real ranking for that page organically, is a good indicator. Okay, this is Facebook traffic. Looking at your brand name is also a good one. They'll just Google the company name. And if all of a sudden that skyrockets, okay, that's from Facebook traffic. So there's a few things you can look at and say, okay, there's no real reason why this should be so high. And a lot of times Google will actually track and say, the source of this page, the traffic, is actually from Facebook. So Facebook may not be giving you credit for it, but there should be some kind of tracking to associate with the page and say, once again, slowing down, these are my money pages. This is where our sales are coming from. What is the source of the actual sales to that page? What channels am I running? And what is the landing page from those channels? So if I'm running a TikTok ad or Facebook, are they set up on the same? And this is where if you get too many channels working initially, you don't have enough siloed data, segmented data to really distinguish where the real source of your revenue is coming from. Because you launch, let's say, well, let's take 10 BB shots and all of a sudden you got 10 channels going at the same time and they're all kind of convoluting the results. So you can't actually put gasoline on the fire because you don't know which fire is actually producing the biggest results.
So if I hear you right, you're saying, definitely experiment, but don't run all the experiments at once. Do them one at a time. See which ones kind of yield further experimentation. And then you've got something.
Exactly. When looking at data, people are super excited to segment the data. And I'm all about segmenting data, really understanding what that channel is. But I feel like not understanding how they play together and just putting so many variables in place that all of a sudden you don't have actionable data. That's what you want to get. Where can I, these results are great. Okay. What does that mean? So what are my next steps? Well, the way we ran it, I'm not really sure. All of a sudden you don't have actionable data and that's great. You got sales coming in, but the key and the secret behind that is really being able to replicate it. If you have a viral video, awesome. What was it about it that made it go viral? What was it about this campaign that made it successful so you can then replicate it? And that is your real success formula.
So speaking of actionable data and replicating things, I would love for you to share, where can people find out more about what you're doing at Bear Fox Marketing, especially in terms of SEO, but also you've got so many more great resources and things there.
Yeah. So they just go to bearfoxmarketing.com. We actually have a few calculators under the free section, and you can look at some of the numbers. So we have a consultative approach. We really want to understand where you're at, what your goals are, and what the numbers look like. And a lot of business owners are a little apprehensive because a lot of times they won't know what numbers they should be knowing. And so we really want to just kind of meet you where you're at and say, okay, to make this campaign successful, this is the kind of ad spend you would need for this particular channel. So understanding what the channels need to be successful, Google Ads typically needs about $3,000 a month to be able to generate some kind of results. So that's kind of the baseline. Okay, what is your customer lifetime value? How many visitors do you need? What kind of an ROI do you need to be successful? Some business owners need a 1x ROI. Other business owners need, honestly, my costs are so high, I need it 10 times to make this successful. And just understanding what those numbers are. And so there's a lot of ad copy and agencies saying we can make anything successful, but it's not really the case. Understanding what we're working with, pull the curtain back and say, this is what we need to make this successful. This is how this works. We know what we're doing. We'll execute. We'll make the best results we can possibly make, but this is what we're working with. So there's no pixie dust. It is just, this is what it is. This is how we're going to execute on it. And this is our strategy behind making it successful. So we have buttons on there you can click on, get a schedule with one of our consultants and use the calculators for free, look at some of our content and just kind of educate yourself on what you're getting into before you start spending money.
Well, that's going to be very helpful for everybody listening. And this has been very helpful conversation-wise as a primer for that. Bear, thank you so much for being here and sharing your expertise and teaching us all that you, well, not all, you know way more, but scratching the surface of what you know when it comes to SEO.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Love being on your show. I really appreciate the questions. You had a lot of great questions.
Okay, I know that was a lot to take in, but give it up again for Bear. That was awesome. And hopefully this is not the first time you've heard of SEO, but maybe it's the first time you've understood it. And just remember, it's all about providing value, being trustworthy, but then proving that trustworthiness or authoritativeness on and with Google. I really hope that you're taking what Bear has laid out so generously. Harness that education, that inspiration, put it to good use, and remember that there is no magic bullet or single strategy that's going to lead to success with this, but that it's a coordinated effort when it comes to building your business, especially with being found for what your customers are looking for and aligning with that, making yourself found by them, serving them. Well, until next time, keep learning, keep optimizing, and most importantly, keep growing. And until I see you then, class dismissed.